Hey, spooky mamas and papas, how are y'all doing? It's been a week or so and it has been crazy, so let's chat. I hope everyone is doing great. Happy Hanukkah to everyone celebrating Hanukkah this time. I hope you're having a wonderful time. This is the end of the 2020 coming up, and baby, I'm hoping next year is so much better. But let's talk about all the wildness going on right now. So has anyone realize that we are in the middle of being in a galactic federation? A former Israeli space security chief stated that the United States and Israel are in the galactic federation with aliens. So yes, there allegedly is aliens out there. I might be pronouncing his name wrong, so I do apologize, but this does come from Haim Ashid. He's a former head of Israel's Defense Ministry space program. He is a respected professor and retired general. He states there is alien life force out there, and there's an agreement between the U.S. government and the aliens. There's a signed contract for them to do experiments here, and apparently there are some American astronauts in the caves of Mars somewhere. It's crazy, y'all. You know, what are we doing? I want pictures. I want documentation. I want somebody to describe to me what they look like. You know, are they little green men, gray men? You know what the coolest aliens look like? Do you remember the aliens on Spice World when they all stopped in the woods to pee? The Spice Girls, and they met the aliens, little smushy faces. Yeah, that would be cool, right? Girl power. So, moving on from the aliens that I definitely want to see, I just want to know what's actually going on with us. That's all. But if anybody has lived under a rock the last few days, has anyone seen where these three men cracked the code for the Zodiac Killer? If for any reason anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, the Zodiac Killer was a serial killer who killed five people in the years of 1968 to 69. And this person or persons would send basically taunting messages to the local newspapers, and unfortunately it's an unsolved crime to this day. Nobody knows who the Zodiac Killer actually was, but these three men were able to actually crack one of the codes and took it to the FBI, and the FBI published it. So here is what these three men were able to crack. I hope you're having lots of fun and trying to catch me. That wasn't me on the TV show, which brings up a point about me. I am not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise all the sooner. Because I now have enough slaves to work for me where everyone else has nothing. When they reach paradise, so they are afraid of death. I am not afraid because I know that my new life is life will be an easy one in paradise. That is crazy, y'all. What do y'all think about that? Please DM me. I definitely want to talk about the Zodiac Killer in the future. I don't think anybody was expecting this, not in this day and time. So we will be talking about this in the near future. All right, guys. So our case will be covering the lovely Mary Piercy. Mary Piercy was born Mary Eleanor Wheeler in 1866. Not much is known about her childhood, but we do know that her father, Thomas Wheeler, was convicted and hanged for the murder of Edward Anstey when she was just 14 years old. It just left Mary with her mother and her sister. Now, as a young teen, Mary entered into a relationship with a carpenter by the name of John Charles Piercy. Even though they never married, nor ever had children together, she went by his last name to get away from the stigma of her father and her father's crimes. Now, Mary was described as a female. Mary was described as a female with a normal build and had nicely shaped hands. Not sure what nicely shaped hands mean, but you go, girl. She was 5'6", with lovely russet hair and fine blue eyes. Now, Mary attracted men, and she attracted well-to-do men, men who did well in life and was above her own station. This helped Mary out in life, and due to her many admirers that she always had, they pretty much paid her way through life, and she never had a job. Mary and John Piercy split up due to Mary's infidelity, and she was living at 2 Priory Street, Kentish Town in North London by the year of 1888. This was a lodging that was being paid for by an admirer of hers, Charles Creighton. During this time, Mary was depressed and drinking heavily. While she was courting with Charles Creighton, she also fell for a man by the name of Frank Samuel Hogg. Frank was a furniture mover by trade, and Mary was completely smitten with him. Frank and Mary started having a bit of a courtship and romance with one another, and Mary would actually put a candlelight in her window, and this was a signal for Frank. Anytime he walked by, he would see this and know that she was free. This was her kind of like bat signal, if you will, for Frank. I put a candlelight in the window. I'm free. You come on up. He had a key to her room. And this was also in secret because Frank was in a relationship already with a woman by the name of Phoebe. Now, not much is known about Phoebe except for her path with Frank, and that's about it, unfortunately. But Frank and Mary started this courtship. They were in this like secret relationship with each other while he was with Phoebe. Now, Phoebe became pregnant, and he let this be known to Mary, and Mary actually pushed for Frank to marry Phoebe as long as he would not give up on Mary, and she would even become friends with Phoebe. And this was later found in a letter that was found in the future for the actual court purposes. But Frank and Mary had this affair during Phoebe's and Frank's marriage, and Phoebe was none the wiser of this. So Frank and Phoebe end up pregnant, and they get married. They gave birth to a little girl in the year of 1889. Now, during my research, I seen two names for the child, and I want to be accurate and respectful as possible. In some sources, I read that the child was named Tiggy, T-I-G-G-Y, Tiggy. And then in some other sources, I seen that the little girl was named Phoebe after her mother. So I'm not exactly 100% sure what the child's name was. I'm going to go with Tiggy just in this, just to keep it not so confused when I go over the case with Mom Phoebe. So Frank and Phoebe gave birth to a little girl named Tiggy in 1889. On October 24th, unfortunately, of 1890, a man was headed home from work to find a woman's body on Crossville Road. Once authorities were notified, the body was taken to the Hampstead Police Station and then to the morgue. The head of the body was wrapped in a cardigan and her throat was split. The slash to the throat was so violent that she was almost decapitated, along with having a fractured skull. At this time, the authorities did not know who the woman was. And later that night, an officer found a bloody pram in the Hamilton Terrace, which is a mile from where the woman's body was found. And I actually had to look up what a pram was. And in America, we just call it like a stroller or a baby carriage. It was just called a pram. But anyways, the next morning, the body of a small child was also found. The child died from suffocation, and besides a few scratches, the body was actually unharmed. By this time, Frank and his sister Clara reported Phoebe and his daughter missing. Frank sent his sister to Mary to ask if she had seen both his wife and daughter, and Mary strongly denied seeing Phoebe or baby Tiggy. So now, at this time, Clara asked Mary, have she seen Phoebe and baby Tiggy? Mary stated no, she did not ever see them. And this was the same morning that the child's body was found. Frank and Clara knew that they needed to go to the morgue to see if these bodies belonged to Phoebe and Tiggy, since they have not returned home and they've been reported missing. But Frank could not bring himself to go, so he asked his sister Clara to go. Clara brought this up in front of Mary, and Mary asked could she tag along with Clara, and Clara stated yes. So they get to the morgue, and when the bodies were brought out to view, when the extent of the injuries were shown to Clara, as far as the slashed throat, the injuries to the head where there was a fractured skull, Mary started acting hysterical and actually tried to get Clara not to positively identify the bodies. But unfortunately, Clara did identify that the adult body did belong to Phoebe Hogg, her sister-in-law, and that the child's body did belong to baby Tiggy, unfortunately. And Tiggy was 18 months old, and Phoebe Hogg was at the age of 34 years old. So very, very young. Authorities did ask Clara and Mary to identify the pram that was found. The pram that was found was that bloody stroller that belonged to Tiggy, and Clara and Mary both positively identified the pram as belonging to baby Tiggy. Frank was a possible suspect by the authorities due to that was what his wife and child being murdered, and nobody could give an actual reason of would there be an enemy to Phoebe or anybody that would do her harm. So during the search of the Hogg home and residence and the investigation with Frank, Frank came clean about the affair to the authorities. They found a key in his house that belonged to Mary. And when asked, he confessed that he was having an ongoing affair that happened long before he married Phoebe. Phoebe was none the wiser of the affair, and he was very upfront with the authorities, but he was very adamant that he did not harm or murder his wife and child. Due to Frank's confession about the affair and Mary's erratic behavior at the morgue when identifying the body with Clara, the authorities' next step was to interview Mary as well. The authorities arrived at Priory Street and searched Mary's home. Once they arrived, they seen bloodstains in the kitchen, a bloodstained knife, and there was two broken windows in the kitchen as well. On Mary's body, she had bloodstains on her hands and clothes. She had scratches on her body, and she's wearing two wedding rings. And one of the wedding rings was positively identified by Frank Hogg himself, and that ring belonged to Phoebe Hogg's. The entire time the police was searching her home, Mary sat at her piano, and she just repeatedly stated that she had been killing mice. That's where she was trying to explain the bloodstains everywhere. Detective Bannister arrested Mary at her own home on this day. Mary's trial began on December 1st, 1890, and it lasted for 3 days. During the three-day trial, there was multiple witnesses. There was multiple love letters called into question that Mary had written to Frank over the years. And then also the account of her behavior at the morgue and the evidence they found in her home. A neighbor had witnessed to have seen Mary pushing Tiggy's pram with a heavy object inside. Mary's ex, John Piercy, testified the cardigan that was wrapped around Phoebe's head was a gift he had given Mary years ago, and the multiple love letters were called into question during court. It is thought that Mary had killed Phoebe at her home, and then she put Phoebe's body in the pram on top of baby Tiggy's. Mary then pushed this pram to the location where she dumped the bodies. The weight of her mother actually suffocated Tiggy, so there was actually no physical harm done to her poor little body. But on the third and final day of her trial, after 52 minutes of deliberation, Mary was found guilty. This was even after her own lawyer, Arthur Hutton, stated that all the evidence was circumstantial and Mary couldn't have possibly committed the murders due to her size. Mary did maintain her innocence throughout the trial, but again, she was found guilty regardless, and the judge sentenced her to death by hanging. While she was in prison, she requests for Frank to visit her. Frank was given permission to visit Mary, but he never showed up to visit, and this made her very upset and inconsolable. On Tuesday, December 23rd, 1890, Mary was taken to London's Newgate Prison. And while she was very inconsolable that Frank did not see her before the day of her death, they stated her behavior was very calm. Mary's final statement was, "My sentence is a just one, but a good deal of the evidence against me is false." Nearly 300 people watched Mary die that day. There was a discussion of Mary being epileptic, and maybe during her seizures she blacked out and didn't know that she actually committed the murders. But, you know, epilepsy was not known about in the late 1800s as it is today. And epilepsy is not a mental health disorder. It is not some mental disease. And what we do know is if you are having an epileptic fit or seizure, you cannot commit murder and just black out and forget about it. So epilepsy did not drive her insane to commit murder. Also, after Mary's death, Madame Tussauds was doing a Chamber of Horrors, and this was a media frenzy of its time. So Madame Tussaud actually did a wax model of Mary Piercy, and she even purchased the pram from Frank Hogg himself. And I think that speaks volumes. If you went through a horrible tragedy such as your wife and child being killed, regardless of it being by your lover or not, why would you sell your deceased baby stroller? That makes no sense to me. It's crazy. But it was put in an actual display, which is very, very odd. It has long been a suspicion that Jack the Ripper may have could have been a woman. Even Sir Arthur Conan Doyle speculated this theory, and he stated a woman could have pretended to be a midwife and been seen in public covered in blood with bloody clothing, and it never would have raised suspicion. So to this day, Jack the Ripper has never been identified positively, and there is still speculation that it could have been a woman. And Mary Piercy has been brought up multiple times by multiple people that she could have possibly been Jack the Ripper. And William Stewart himself in the 1930s wrote a book. It was called Jack the Ripper, A New Theory, where he specifically named Piercy in connection with the crime. Of course, it is all circumstantial. I have not read the book myself. If anybody has, DM me and let me know what you think about that. I personally do not think Mary Piercy was Jack the Ripper. I am not stating that it was not a female. It very well could have been. But if you followed the Jack the Ripper cases, you know that the victims were killed where they were found. The bodies were not moved. And there was definitely a lot more sadistic behavior to the actual murders. No female parts were taken from Phoebe. There was no children involved in the Jack the Ripper cases in Whitehall. And honestly, if you look at Phoebe and Tiggy, this was literally just the crime of a jealous lover. And that's just really what I think about it. But let me know your thoughts about this case. DM me. Do you think Mary could have possibly been Jack the Ripper? Do you think she was crazy? Do you think Jack the Ripper was female at all? Let me know your thoughts and your conspiracy beliefs on the aliens and the Zodiac Killer and Mary Piercy and Jack the Ripper and anything else in between. Contact me, DM me, anything you want to do. You can find me on Instagram at Spooky Mama Podcast. I hope everyone has a safe week. Come back at the end of this week. I will be here with you again. And stay spooky, babies.